Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college athletics fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with a special edition of the Tim May Podcast. It's actually a universal world, and when it comes to Ohio State athletics in this special time, every 5 years, the Olympics are coming around, and Ohio State's going to be represented by 26 current, former, and in one case, incoming athlete in the Tokyo Games, which was obviously delayed from last year to this year. Hopefully it's going to take place as scheduled in Tokyo this coming month. But the bottom line is Ohio State has 26 representatives, by far a record for the Buckeyes, the previous being 19 several years ago for the Rio Games. But what sets this one apart? I mean, these 26 represent 12 countries. There are nine from the United States, six from Canada, two from Greece, and one from France, Italy, Mexico, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Sierra Leone, Spain, Sri Lanka, Trinidad, and Tobago. And there will be nine sports represented in this group, including six rowers, five from track and field, four fencers, three swimmers, two gymnasts, two synchronized swimmers, two shooters. Yeah, watch those shooters. One soccer player and one wrestler. And that wrestler is former Ohio State Buckeye and gold medalist, Kyle Snyder. Everybody knows about him. But the bottom line is Ohio State's going to be well represented. And the reason I wanted to do this special podcast, I got to talk to two of the athletes that are headed Tokyo way here shortly. One of whom is Adelaide Aquila. That's easy for me to say, I know, Adelaide Aquila. All she's done is just tear up the shot put world this past season, especially, has become a major force on not just the college scale, but also internationally. She has a best of 19.12 meters, which if she gets into that realm and a little bit higher in Tokyo, she has a definite chance of meddling. But she is coached by Ashley Kovacs, and the tie-in there, Ashley Kovacs is the throws coach for the Ohio State track and field team. Adelaide has just finished her senior season, but she has one more season of eligibility remaining, and she plans to take that. But Ashley Kovacs also coaches her husband, Joe Kovacs, who just so happened to be the silver medalist in the Rio Olympics and is qualified for this year's games. So Adelaide has a lot going on, and when you consider that she won the indoor and outdoor Big Ten titles this year and the indoor and outdoor NCAA titles this year and placed third in the Olympic trials recently. So she is world-class by every stretch of the imagination. And the other person got to speak to special occasion at Ohio State recently was Alec Yoder, a former member of the Ohio State gymnastics team. I think he's been out for two years now, but he qualified on the pommel horse for the Olympics. And we'll get into the pommel horse, why this native of Fishers, Indiana, right outside Indianapolis, why he became especially good at riding the pommel horse, so to speak. Actually, you never ride it. You do everything but sit on it. But he's become world-class in that regard. And so I just thought it'd be an interesting little conversation here with these two Ohio State Olympians. And let's start off with Adelaide Aquila. A very engaging young lady and who has really come into her own in the last three seasons of throws. And you'll hear her get into detail of what's made the difference for her, not the least of whom is the person I call the shot put whisperer, her coach, Ashley Kovacs.
Adelaide Aquila, you're basically weeks away from going to Tokyo for the Olympics. Just give me just your sense of excitement, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's a really awesome opportunity to compete for Team USA and represent the whole state of Ohio, especially Columbus and Ohio State. You know, I'm really excited to head out there and do my best in my performance and continue to improve my technique and level of throwing.
So, you know, you've had a hell of a year. You've won almost every award you can win, the Big Ten, Ohio State, you know, Athlete of the Year along with Justin Fields, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But what you have done quietly – well, I don't know if quietly is the right word. You've become world class. Yeah. What is it like to think about you were shot putting, what, 16 something meters a couple of years ago, and now you're in that world class realm of 19 plus.
Mm-hmm. It's really, like I said before, a whirlwind of emotions and everything, but I'm super grateful to be able to compete at this level and have my coach right there beside me. She's been the leader of the train for the whole time through, so to have her there and her support from her husband and then everybody around me is awesome. And I still haven't processed everything that's happened so far, so it's really great.
Yeah, Coach Kovacs, I would refer to her as a shot put whisperer. Is that true?
Oh yeah, she's definitely one of the best coaches in the world. I'm obviously a little biased, but I think that she really can develop a lot of people, even if they're like high class out of high school or if they're walk on like me, you know, that she really has the ability to create anybody and really hone in on their strong suits and make them a world class thrower.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you talked earlier, you were talking about, you know, you were targeting Paris in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
What has just come right in the last year and a half for you, just from a technique standpoint, which mm-hmm. I would think has meant as much as anything else to your rise, right?
Yeah, we've really focused on creating like a fluid throw through my form. Obviously, like there's two different forms for shot put. There's the glide and then there's the rotation, which I do.
Yeah.
So we really focus on what makes throws for me. And that might be different for somebody else, but we really focused in on like creating the perfect throw for myself. So throughout the past year, 2 years, we've really just focused on that and creating something that I'm comfortable with and continuing to improve it.
Yeah, I was going to say the rotation method seems to really take in mm-hmm. torque into consideration, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a golf swing and stuff. I mean, what, mm-hmm. Give people an idea of just the energy involved in something like that. And it's all sudden burst.
Oh yeah. It's weird. Cause a lot of people think throwing is just all with your arms, but it's just really a follow through. Like you said, in golf, it's not really like focused on your arm or anything at all. It's all from your legs and hips and everything. So in the weight room, we'll do a lot of leg movements to just strengthen them. And then a lot of like hip strengthening stuff just to make sure we're really getting the most we can through our form.
Yeah. From the ground up is basically what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife was a high jumper way back when mm-hmm. for Ohio State and stuff. And it's really funny. Everybody thinks you just go out there and hop over something. No, there's a lot more involved.
Oh,
I want to get you this real quick though. You go from 16 to 19. When was it that give me an insight of that moment where you realized, wait a minute, I've got this in me, you know?
My junior year, it was during our max out week in, I want to say November, right before we go home for Thanksgiving. I had a couple good throws at practice, and then I was on my last one. I was like, all right, you're going to do good on this one. And then it just all clicked right there, right then and there. And I had like a 2 meter practice PR, and it was a really great feeling. It was just everything come together, and I was like, all right, here we go.
So like a golf swing, you know, do you summon that feeling every time? I mean, do you kind of try to summon that sense of how it all came together each mm-hmm. time, and explain to people what you're thinking just before you turn.
When I'm going into competition or like the night before competition, I will picture the throw from like my perspective.
Yeah.
So I'll picture what I want to feel when I'm setting up the ball, how I want to feel the ball on my neck, how I want to feel my legs set. And then I'll picture it all throughout the throw just so I'm kind of manifesting almost what I want to have happen throughout the throw.
So you can have like a deja vu moment when you're in the ring,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
You know, what have you got? If you got to get to 21, what do you think you got to get to in Tokyo to have a shot? I mean, mm-hmm. pardon the pun, to have a shot at it.
To medal at Tokyo, I think it's going to take like 1950, 1970, somewhere in there. It might be way off, but that's just what I think is going to take to medal. So I don't think it's out of my wheelhouse to do that. But I, like I said, I just need to focus on myself and creating my perfect throw for me.
I like that term, wheelhouse. Who's number one in the world right now? Is it the Chinese lady?
Yes.
Li Jiagong?
Yes.
She's gotten 22, I think, before 21 something and stuff. But it's all about that moment, right? Mm-hmm. The day, right?
Yeah, it's about seizing the moment and really making sure that you take advantage of the competition and how your body feels. Because obviously, like, it's going to take – everybody's going to feel different on competition day. So it's just really preparing yourself for that moment and showing up to compete on that competition day.
Yeah, who knew who knew trying to get a sweatshirt in high school, which is what you tried to do. Was it Magnificat? How do you say?
Yeah, Magnificat High School.
Magnificat High School could lead to something like this, where she was trying, ladies and gentlemen, she was trying to, like, basically do all these events so she'd get a free sweatshirt and never got the free sweatshirt because she never ran the mile.
Yeah.
But boy, you've gone a long way anyway, right?
Oh, yeah.
Last thing, what's the anxiety level about, you know, what's going on in Japan right now and actually getting to compete? I mean, what's your sense? Is this going to happen?
We have a lot of pre-trip, like, checklist stuff that we have to do before we leave. I think we have to take 2 COVID tests. USA Track and Field gave us a probiotic that we have to start taking.
Huh.
So we have to do a bunch of that. And then once we get there, I think we have COVID testing every single day. But while we're there, we're actually only limited to the 3 places. So whatever is going on outside, I think we'll be fine, you know, because we're just limited to our 3 positions.
Hey, last thing, you've risen to the occasion every major event, every major meet you've been to this year. 3rd in the Olympic trials. Obviously, you dominated the Big Ten and then NCAA. Is there any sense in your mind that you'll rise to the occasion now? I mean, does that experience help you as you walk into this stadium halfway around the world?
That experience definitely will help me to compete at the Olympic trials. I think it's a little bit different here because it's just, like, such a big field, and there's so many girls who have thrown, like, pretty far, but, you know, I'm just really going to focus on what I need to do in the competition and not focus on what everybody else is doing and all the outside factors, because that is what creates, like, the unnecessary stress and anxiousness in the competition.
One more quickie, because I'm known for that. How far will adrenaline take you?
Adrenaline definitely helps, you know. I'm trying to slowly, like, drink less coffee and everything, because I'm not sure what the situation over there is and if there's going to be coffee before, but I usually love a pre-meet coffee, but adrenaline's definitely going to help, you know. It's going to be a really great feeling walking into the stadium and being like, all right, let's do this.
Thank you, Adelaide.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
Very interesting young lady, Adelaide Aquila, and as you notice, you know, she's really just getting started. Her target was Paris, which is going to be 3 years from now, the next Olympic game. So she's a little ahead of schedule. But there's no doubt Ashley Kovacs has made a big difference in her performances. Let's move on now to my conversation with Alec Yoder. You know, kind of asked him off the record, why didn't you become a race car driver, being from right there near Indianapolis? Of course, I was kidding about that. But, you know, since 4 or 5 years old, he was smitten by the gymnastics bug. And obviously, he's taking it places. And as you'll see in this interview, you know, what makes a man good on the pommel horse, one of the great disciplines in gymnastics? We'll get into that and a few other things.
Alec Yoder, you're going to Tokyo. What's the big thought on your mind right now, just from a concentration standpoint or a curiosity standpoint? What just keeps going through your brain right now?
You know, just the ability to compete. Is something that's going through my mind. This is something I've waited my whole life to do. I'm just so excited for this opportunity. You know, what a blessing it is that the Olympics are even being held. To make the team is a dream come true, and I just can't wait to get out there with my team and hopefully win a medal for my country.
What will you compete in at the Olympics for your team?
Just pommel horse.
And
so I was selected as the individual specialist.
Yeah, and you and I were speaking about that earlier, just the pommel horse. What is it about it that was intriguing to you right from the get-go?
I've just, you know, being a tall gymnast, I think it's something that I've always put a lot of time into and something that my lines look really good when I'm seeing a pommel horse. So I've always enjoyed it, but I know that, you know, I've been pretty good at it over the years. So I just kept trying to master that craft. Just working harder and harder. You know, I've had great coaches over the years, great teammates who have motivated me and pushed me to be better, and I just haven't stopped.
Give somebody, people an idea. What is the toughest part about competing on the pommel horse?
it's very mental. You know, pommel horse is very mental. You know, if you think that you're off or you're nervous, you know, it really affects the way you compete. You know, flying around, you know, the horse on one arm is something that is pretty difficult. But, you know, you put in the work, you can master anything.
You know, it almost looked to me like on the pommel horse, you almost have to look like you to have a good routine. You almost have to look like you're out of control, but you're in control all at the same time, right?
Right.
I mean, from a speed standpoint.
Right. Yeah. No, it's all very strategic. So we practice it. But I think from an outside perspective, it definitely looks like there's a lot going on and anything could happen for sure.
Yeah. You're from Fishers, Indiana, right outside Indianapolis and stuff. When was the first time you got on a pommel horse?
I think I was probably like 4 years old. I wasn't doing very much, but I think that's when I started gymnastics classes. So I think that's probably where my love started, even though I didn't really know it then.
And when did you know you were good at it?
Probably in 2012, 2013, you know, growing up and started doing really well, winning competitions in the state, region, and nation. And that's really when I was like, okay, like this could be my event.
You know, I talked to Adelaide Aquila, who's also going to Tokyo, the Olympics, along with a host of other Ohio State athletes and stuff. But what is it like to know that you're world class in something?
It's amazing. You know, I've put in a lot of work. So have my coaches. So have this, you know, this entire university, you know, investing in me and all of these 26 athletes going to Tokyo. So it means the world, you know, being world class is something I've always trained for, or something I've always wanted. So I put in the work, you know, and here I am. And so I'm really excited about that.
Who at Ohio State has helped bring out the best in you, would you say? And how much has the experience at Ohio State helped you?
Yeah, my coaches, you know, Casimiro Suarez and Rustam Sharipov, my coaches here for the gymnastics team. They've really helped me. You know, they believed in me. They supported me, you know, through the good times and the bad. You know, the athletic department here has been amazing. You know, Gene Smith, you know, Kerry Hoyt, Sean Richards, you know, always being there for me, getting me anything that I need to make sure that I'm competing to be the best that I can. And so it just means a lot. You know, I love this university and they really invest in their student athletes. And, you know, 26 of us going to the Olympics, it really shows that.
How prepared are you? Well, I guess what are you curious about Japan, about Tokyo, et cetera, that, you know, you've been there before, as you and I talked about. What's the most curious thing about Japan to you?
Well, I mean, right now I'm curious to see what, you know, it's going to look like in a COVID, secure world, you know, making sure everyone's being healthy. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of time where we are on our own. So I'm really interested about that. I'm hoping I have a good view from my hotel room that opens up a little bit so I can get some fresh air and enjoy the sights of Japan. But, you know, either way, I'm just really excited to be there.
Is there anxiety about this trip considering, you know, what they've announced about no crowds, you know, because they've had a little bit of a blowback from the COVID-19 situation and variants? But what is there a little anxiety with you, too?
You know, not so much. You know, I train for moments like this every day in the gym. I train with zero crowd. So, you know, at the Olympic Games, it'll feel just like practice. So, you know, I'm not worried about it. Would love to have fans and put on a show for people, but I know people will be watching from home. So it's just the same pommel horse routine, just a different location. So I'm looking forward to it.
One last thing. Talked a while ago about you being world class in this now. When was that moment when you knew you could take it to that level? Think back. I mean, that's kind of hitting you sideways a little bit. But that moment, that meet, maybe you're on the pommel horse when you suddenly – you know, figured it out.
Yeah, in 2014, I competed at the Youth Olympic Games in China, and I won a bronze medal in the all-around, and I think that moment was when I knew I had what it took to compete. You know, I knew I was good at gymnastics, but, you know, competing is a whole different thing, dealing with the stress, dealing with the pressure. And so at that moment, I was like, I think I can do it because I can handle moments like this.
It was great speaking with Alec, and, of course, we wish him and Adelaide the greatest of success in Tokyo, along with the 24 other current, former, and incoming Buckeyes who will be competing a record number for Ohio State products in the Olympics. And, you know, until next week, this is Tim May with the Tim May Podcast. We'll see you then.